Let's state again, preferring the affluence of the affluent is not at all a criterion of merit over the righteousness. By frowning at the poor and turning away from him and attending to the rich is intellectually reckoned as a repulsive and ugly deed, which contradicts the nobility of the character of our dignified Prophet. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes his Prophet in the absolute sense with an exalted character and a character trait, khulq, which is a habitual disposition, meleke, that cannot perform an act contrary to what it dictates. In the light of this truth, once again, it is clear that these verses were revealed about someone other than the Prophet who was in the company of him when Ibn Maktum arrived. So when the wealthy man saw him, he regarded him as filthy. He pulled his clothes, frowned at him, and turned his face away from him. Consequently, Almighty Allah reprimanded him for this his despicable act. Furthermore, the following third and the fourth verses below concerning the doubt about whether he, the Quraishi, could see if Abdullah would be benefited talking to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what would make you know but that perchance he might grow in purity or take admonition and admonition would benefit him? Obviously, this doubt belongs to the one who had not yet embraced Islam, the pagan Quraishi. Apparently, he was not aware of the blind Muslim's possible growth in Islam. This could have never occurred in the mind of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Moreover, articulating the third verse in the context of the second person singular, you, also shows severe criticism. Because this person is dishonored by Allah and is despised for not even being able to see that Islam admonishes and purifies the souls. Based on that, neither you in this third verse nor the whole fourth verse do not apply to the Prophet. Therefore, none of the first four verses of this chapter addresses to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Besides, there is more than one person, as there exists switching in the pronoun from he to you in the following verses. As for him who considers himself free from need, rich, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the chieftain who frowned because Abdullah was poor. To him you address yourself. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is not necessary for you to preach him, the arrogant chieftain, if he does not purify himself. Here in the seventh verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the phrase, it is not necessary for you. This means that what the Prophet has done was not wrong, but it was not something necessary to do. Like it was in the case of another verse in the Quran, Allah reminds his Prophet that it is not necessary for him to burden himself too much for guiding people, since some of them can never be guided, so the Prophet should not be upset over them. Therefore, preaching arrogant members of Quraysh who frowns at the blind is not worthy, and it is not necessary over preaching a blind Muslim even though he comes later. And preaching someone who does not intend to purify himself to the extent that he frowns at the believer is not fruitful. Hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the following verses reminds the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he should pay more attention to Abdullah. And as to him who comes to you striving hard and he fears Allah, to him you did not pay attention. The reason why the Holy Prophet couldn't answer him at once, as he was deeply involved in his speech and his sight was obscured by this pagan who frowned at Abdullah, and as soon as these verses were revealed, the Prophet stopped preaching immediately. Conclusion. Firstly, from the first verse to the fourth, including Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows his anger with the one who frowns at the blind man. Thus, Allah addresses him as a worthless person with the third person singular, he. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accuses the same person of being ignorant of the fact that Islam grows in the faithful. He didn't see that the blind Muslim wanted more knowledge. Thirdly, in the fifth verse, Allah rebukes this rich person again, who belittles the blind Muslim because he is poor. Fourthly, from the sixth verse to the tenth, including, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that preaching an unbeliever is not fruitful, and it is not necessary if this person does not try to purify himself and offends a believer just because of his lack of wealth and health. And lastly, the remaining verses from the 11th to the 42nd warn the people like the one who frowned, and towards the end curse the human being and express wonder at his extreme denial of the lordship of his Lord. The ending of the chapter points out to the divine command in its initiation and subsistence that for surely man does not own anything for himself, whether it be his creation or the management of his affairs. Rather, it is Allah who created him from a degenerate drop of sperm. From a drop of seed he created him and proportioned him, then made the way easy for him, then caused him to die and buried him. Then, when he will, he brings him again to life. Despite this, man does not perform what his Lord commands him and fails to get his guidance. Consequently, these kind of people will have a terrible ending, so it concludes in the last three verses.
And other faces on that day with dust upon them, veiled in darkness. Those are the disbelievers, the wicked.
We are asking here the ones who slander our beloved Prophet ﷺ and shamelessly put his name in the parenthesis as the one who frowned and then distributed to all over the world. Could they actually dare to put our beloved Prophet in the place of this pagan? Indeed, they are the slanderers of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear Muslim sisters and brothers, please open your hearts and don't be betrayed by those so-called interpreters.